Good morning. Good to have everybody with us this morning. I want to start off with something that might make you smile a little bit, maybe a chuckle. All the men and women are sitting around in heaven, and God said, "Okay, men, I want you to make a line of the ones that were head of the household over here. And over here, I want you to make a line of the women that were house, of the men of the women who were household leaders." So they made the line. The one line was 4 miles long of the men that said that the woman was the leader and head of household. The other one that said that the man was, there was one person standing in the line. And God said, "Well, how did it come to be that you're the only person that was in the line for the men being in the household?" He said, "Well, my wife told me to stand over here." So, a little bit of thought of what goes on sometimes, okay? I'm glad you're here this morning. I hope in some way you'll be blessed by being here. I'm not a regular preacher or regular whatever you want to call it that stands up here. But we're going to do something the best that we can. How many of you have heard of the good old days? Never people saying, you know, people sticking their hands up right now. We've heard that phrase, the good old days, so many times in our lives. You know, man, I remember the good old days. Yeah, we've got probably one in the audience that 11 days ago was remembering the good old days when that one was still comfortable inside the mother. So we got one that's 10 days old. 11 days ago was the old days, which was probably pretty comfortable. But yeah, the old days. The old days when there were no TVs. Okay? Remember those days? No TVs? Some of us, yeah. Some of us, no. The old days when there was no cars. You know, horse and buggies. Some days when there was gasoline that was 17 cents a gallon. Think about that. I'm starting to tell my age a little here, ain't I? Some days when the horse and buggy was around and more family time was together. You know, it takes me about 10 minutes to drive into town from where I live. Okay, 10 minutes. Not long. But back in the horse and buggy days, if you was taking a horse and a wagon, by the time you got the wagon hooked up to the horse and all that stuff, and you got to town, your probably time would be more than an hour. So you had the family time with that distance and drive where Patty and I might drive to town and say three words to each other in that 10 minutes. I don't think you could go that long in the horse and buggy without talking to each other a little bit. So some of the good old days was really the good old days. But the good old days don't just start with what we can remember as being the good old days. There's more things about the good old days that I think that we need to address occasionally and look at some of the good old days. And I'm talking not 100 years ago. I'm talking not 500 years ago. I'm not talking 1,000 years ago. I'm talking a couple thousand years ago. Were those some of the good old days? 2,000 years ago? What are you talking about? You know, we're going to talk about the good old days that were part of what was the beginning of the church. Those good old days. If you want to open your Bibles and follow along a little bit, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 3 to begin with. We're going to look at that a little bit and see what chapter 3 talks about. We're talking 2,000 years ago, folks. That's a long time ago. We have a hard time relating to 2,000 years. Have a hard time understanding that things really did go on 2,000 years ago and beyond that. But focusing up on these days of 2,000 years ago, chapter 3, Matthew, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." And the same John and his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. John the Baptist, 2,000 years ago. He was going around being the forerunner of Jesus Christ. The Jordan spoken here is the Jordan River. He was baptizing people in the Jordan River. People were coming to him, confessing their sins and being baptized. This was before Jesus Christ started his ministry. This was before Jesus went to the cross, that these things were being done. We're just going to skip down to verse 11. And it says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." The he that he's talking about here is, Matthew's record is Jesus Christ. He's the one that's coming. He's the one that John says, "I am not worthy to even wear his shoes or loosen his shoes." It goes on and says, "Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him." Now I want you to get this. I don't want you to miss this part. Jesus has come to John to be baptized. He has come to Jordan to be baptized of John the Baptist. Verse 14. "And John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?" And John is saying, you're the one that needs to be baptized of me. I don't need to baptize you. "And Jesus said, answering unto him," verse 15, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus I becometh unto us fulfill all righteousness. then he suffered him. It was prophesied that this very thing would happen. It was prophesied that Jesus would come to John the Baptist. Verse 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God speaking there. The voice from heaven. This is my Son, who I am well pleased. In the book of John, there are several verses that John records of this same happening. In the first chapter of John, verse 31, it talks of, and I knew him not, but he should be manifest to Israel, therefore I am come, baptizing with water. So the record here of John speaks of the water. Verse 32, first chapter of John. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. We're talking about the Holy Spirit descending as a dove. And I knew him not. Verse 33. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. So now in verse 33, we're again talking of the Holy Ghost as we did back over in Matthew. So we got the Holy Ghost, we got fire, we got the dove ascending, we got things going on between John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. Let's turn over to the book of Acts. If you got your Bibles with you and choose to do so. As it is recorded in the book of Acts, and this is after the time that Jesus has picked his apostles now. This is after the time that Jesus Christ had gone to the cross, that he was nailed on the cross between two thieves, that he had give up his life for our sins. He had already done all these things, and then coming into Acts is where we're going to look now. Acts chapter 1, verse 5. And John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Jesus is speaking to his apostles here. He speaks of John baptizing. He speaks of the Holy Ghost. He speaks of the water, just as we have seen previously pointed out. We need to turn over to chapter 2 of Acts. Now there's a little bit of time here between Jesus Christ being crucified and coming into this part of Acts 2. Jesus has been buried. He's been resurrected. Now there's a lot of happenings between here. It takes a lot of study to figure out all the happenings in between all of this, because there are many things that happen. But when the day of Pentecost, chapter 2, Acts, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. This is talking about the apostles. They were all in one place with Jesus Christ. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Folks, that right there would have scared me to death. Now you think about, they're in this house, the chosen apostles that Jesus Christ had chosen, and here's this wind that comes in and lands on them like tongues of fire. Back in Matthew, the record was the Holy Ghost. The record was the water. The record was the Holy Ghost. The record was descending upon them. This is it. This is it. It's descending upon them. That's what was spoken of. Back in Isaiah, it was even spoken of that this would happen. Let's jump down to verse 37. A little explanation before we get to that. The men, after this had happened, that they were in that house, they went out and they started talking to the people. The people are listening. The people are kind of confounded about what's going on. But Peter stood up and started preaching this sermon. And as the people listened, they started to realize that they had crucified Jesus Christ. They had put Jesus on the cross. They had killed him. He had shed his blood. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They beat him. They put a robe on him. Made him like, oh, you king, you. They did a lot of things to him before they put him on the cross. But then the people were astounded, because all the people had come to Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost. They had come there as a normal celebration of that time, of the Passover, which was the Passover of the firstborn not being killed back when they were in Egypt. Another study. You'd have to catch up on that. But they understood the Passover, and they understood that Jesus had been crucified, but they didn't really know who he was. The people didn't understand who he was. But as all nations from everywhere, every nation was represented at this point in Jerusalem. And as the apostles talked to them in their own language, or they heard in their own language, ever how this was transformed, you can use any theory that you want, but it was transformed into them understanding what the apostles were saying. Then they realized that they had crucified Jesus Christ. Now we go to Acts 2 and verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? A question asks. A question that says, Oh my goodness, what have I done? This is what the people are saying. My goodness, what have we done? After realizing that they had crucified Jesus Christ, the question comes now. Think about it. Think about these people had understood now that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that He had came from heaven to this earth, that He was baptized of John, that He was in this place at this time, and all these things were happening. He had done His ministry for the 3 years that He was walking and talking among the people and teaching, performing miracles, doing all these things. These people knew about Him. They just didn't understand who He was. But as Peter spoke, they come to the realization of what they had done. And they ask that question, What should we do? Verse 38, chapter 2, Acts. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is made unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Promise to you and to your children, and from then on down to us. We're talking us here now. We have the promise. What's the promise? That believing in Jesus Christ, that being baptized in water, as John the Baptist baptized, as Jesus was baptized. And this is the statement that has been made by Peter to the people. Then we go on. And many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. How many? 3,000 people were baptized. That's a lot of people. I don't know just how long a period that took to do this. It's 3,000 people. And then in verse 42 it says, And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, what the apostles were teaching, what the apostles were saying, and the fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, because they had received the Holy Ghost with power. They had the ability to do miracles at this time, as they had received the power of the Holy Ghost. We receive the Holy Ghost. The power may be different. whatever, but this was still the teaching tool before the Bible. And all that believed were gathered together, verse 44, and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. I think we got to understand that these people were hanging around in Jerusalem. You got 3,000 people here that came. 3,000 people were baptized. 3,000 people now is all of a sudden joined together in one. How are you going to take care of all these people from all these other countries? How's that going to be done? There's got to be some taken care of stuff here. So they sold their goods. Some of them sold their stuff to help out the people that were hanging around because they wanted to know more about Jesus Christ. They wanted to study more about Jesus Christ. They wanted to learn what the apostles had to say. It takes a little while sometimes to learn all that. We never quit learning. No matter how long we go, we never quit learning. Verse 46, chapter 2. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Catch the next statement. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The Lord added to the church. It wasn't voted in. It wasn't that you signed a piece of paper and joined up. It was through what Peter had told them to do. It was through what they recognized they needed to do. It was through the baptism, the water baptism that Jesus was done with. The good old days. The good old days, Jesus was baptized. The good old days, Jesus was baptized with water. If you want to go into a deep study and all the Greek and all of that, you're going to find out that this baptism, in every case here, the Greek says water baptism immersion. That adds you to the church. It's pretty simple. There's a lot between what I have just said. This is the short version. We ain't got long enough time to get to the long version of this. But folks, there is a lot more to it. Believing in Jesus Christ. Repenting of your sins. Being baptized. And God adds you to the church. Not anyone else. It's not just believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It is all the things that needs to go along with it. We can stand on the street corner and believe all we want. But if we don't follow the directions that was given to us, that I have laid out here this morning, then are we having the Lord place us in the church? Baptism is important. It's important for our sins. There's so many other instances throughout the Bible, if we had time to go through, where it can show where baptism is the way into the church. I thank you for your time this morning. I thank you for listening. I ask you to think about these things as you go through life. And what are we doing as Christians? What are we doing in the church? How much can we do for the church? And are we baptized and the Lord added us to? Let's think on these things as we stand and we sing the song that has been selected, that if there's any need, you can come and do. Things are ready. Things are ready at any time. So shall we stand and sing the song?